Good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday, January 26th, 1:03 p.m. This is the time and place for the PAC-DC's Relocation and Deaccession Subcommittee. I'll go ahead and do a roll call to establish quorum. Ann Lopez?
Here.
Jim Glock? Jim Glock, thank you. Wesley Fawcett Cree?
Here.
And Kelly Way? Absence excused. And we do have quorum. Next on our agenda is the introduction of guests and attendees. I will go ahead and begin. My name is Sadie Shaw. I'm the Public Art and Community Design Administrator at the Arts Foundation. I'll pass it to Yu.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yu Shiratori. I'm the Public Art Collections Associate with the Arts Foundation. Pass it to Jim.
Wait. Introduction of guests and attendees. We're just introducing ourselves.
So I'm Jim Glock. I'm chair of the committee. Am I the chair? Anyway, I am the chair of the Public Art and Community Design Committee, and I think by ascension, I'm the chair of this subcommittee too. So, other committee members we have present.
Go ahead, Wesley.
Hi there, I'm Wesley Fawcett Cree, and I am also on the PAC-D committee.
Thank you, Anne.
My name is Anne Lopez. I represent Ward 4 on this committee and on the PAC-D committee.
Thank you. And Wilwin?
Hi, everyone. Wilwin Reyes, Director of Public Art, Arts Foundation.
Great. Thank you. And then we'll move on to the guests who are present. Thomas?
Hi, my name is Tom Baham. I'm with the Knights of Columbus. I'm the Tucson chapter president of the Knights of Columbus.
Thank you. Damien?
I'm Damien Klenko, CEO of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and we own the Charles Clement Archive and Intellectual Property.
Thank you. Lucky?
My name is Lucky Sawe. I'm an Ogallala and Optum artist here in Tucson.
Thank you. Lizzie?
Hi, I'm Lizzie. I'm Ward 5 appointee to be on the committee.
Thank you. Michael?
Michael Fassett, Board President, Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation.
Thank you. And the folks in the room labeled 4Ts 3?
Hi, Fernando Ortiz, Ward 5, representing Council Member San Barajas.
Thank you. I believe that is everyone. Did I call everyone? It appears that I did. Okay. Moving on to the agenda, item 3, call to the audience. Members of the public must sign up to speak at the call to the audience. At this moment, we do not have anyone signed up to speak. Is there anyone in the room who would like to speak at this agenda item? Okay, hearing none, we can go ahead and move forward with item 4, approval of relocation and deaccession subcommittee minutes for December 11th. My apologies, I sent out the incorrect minutes. I sent the ones from PAC-DC meeting, which happened the day before, and so my apologies, I did not get a chance to send them to you in time for the review. So I'm going to go ahead and pull this item till our next meeting, and we'll review both minutes at our next meeting, if that is okay with the committee. Okay. And moving on, Item 5, review of administrative directives. So will be a presentation on the administrative directives for the public art program regarding the relocation and deaccession as outlined in the Administrative Directive Code 7.01-7. And Yu will be presenting on this. Yu?
Yes. I'm going to share my screen here. Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Not yet.
No? Sure. Are we looking now?
Better.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is a quick overview of the administrative directives specifically for relocation deaccession. This is sort of the guiding star for how we make decisions today. If we have any internet Google search open ready right now, you can look up City of Tucson administrative directives and put in that number, and it'll give you the full details and the document that I'm referencing. So this is just a quick overview of the deaccession and relocation process. This is kind of a very top level overview of the timeline. So we will receive an inquiry from whether it's city departments, internal staff, other nonprofits, or community members. From there, we have the subcommittee meeting, do a project overview, look over the inquiry, and determine the next steps to resolve the request, which is determined by input and evaluations from the pulled directly from the deaccession criteria. There's also like other small details of you know, community input, how to specifically remove the artwork that we can deliberate in these PACD meetings. And so from here, when the subcommittee comes to a recommendation, that goes to PACD, the overall broader PACD for a vote. And from there goes to Arts Foundation Board for a vote. And then it goes to city departments and city managers. I like to just, we put this out there just for full transparency of the process and just so everyone here knows after a discussion what to expect. So the criteria outlined in the administrative directive specifically for relocation deaccession are the following: public safety concerns, damage of the artwork, loss or significant alteration to the original site, lack of suitable or secure site, excessive maintenance, design faults, incompatibility with the city's public art collection, overwhelming public objection, or written requests from the artist. So part of the subcommittee's role is to determine which one of these criteria the original inquiry falls under and to further discuss how to address it. And just more details on the roles of the subcommittee, specifically for the committee members, state whether it's a relocation or deaccession that's recommended, reference the specific criteria as mentioned earlier here, and note any details, conditions, and considerations that the broader PACD should weigh. Reflect an informed and thoughtful recommendation. And all of these, the criteria, you know, there's a lot more information that we'll talk for each specific project. So in anytime there's any questions from PACD members, you can raise those. So that is the very quick, brief overview of the relocation deaccession criteria. Sadie, is it okay to just jump in to the Danny Lopez?
Yes. Is there any questions from the committee or guests present? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item 6, project overview. the Parisia symbol at Danny Lopez Park.
Okay, so as CD mentioned, this is for the Danny Lopez Park regarding the Parousia sign located at the park. Danny Lopez Park is located west of I-10 and on the east side of Silver Bell Road. It's part of the Parks and Recreation Department, City of Tucson. The artwork that we're looking at, we're assuming was installed 1991. This park for anyone who's been here is quite sprawling, so I want to give everyone an aerial view of the specific location that's in question. When you drive into the main park entryway, it's a second right when you drive in, and then the artwork that we'll be discussing is in prominent view between the two parking lots. This is an image of the artwork in question. It is a granite slab measuring about 3.5 by 3.5. And just to be clear, the granite slab is the darker object that's embedded in the lighter sculpture. So, or I should say the plinth. And the plinth is about 5.5 by 4 feet. It is made of concrete. And here's some close-up details of the way that it's constructed, embedded, and what it's made of. So it appears that it's embedded into the concrete plinth. It's situated between two flagpoles. And as I mentioned earlier, it is prominently located in the park between the two parking lots. We have a little bit of a historical overview here. We were able to pull up a few documents from the Knights of Columbus commemorating the park and the donation of the two flagpoles specifically for what was originally named Christopher Columbus Park. Highlighted here in red, it says in October 1991, there are plans to erect and dedicate flagpoles at the park. So that happened. And in October 1992, we hope to unveil a statue of Christopher Columbus at the park. Which we can see here, it's just the plinth, so that didn't happen. Here are just a few other documents as, I guess, evidence of, you know, the relationship between Knights of Columbus and this object. The Parousia sign here in blue on the left side is part of the commemorative document that was used for the original celebration. And here on the right, with a letterhead from Parks and Recreation, is a letter of appreciation for the donations of the flagpoles. And this is dated 1991. So the reason that this was brought forth to the Arts Foundation is the Danny Lopez Park in 2025 was renamed from Christopher Columbus Park with support from mayor and council. Lucky Salway, the selected artist to create public artwork, had requested the removal and relocation the granite symbol from the plinth in order to install new artwork. So Danny Lopez Park is going under a few improvement projects, and again, Lucky Salway was a selected artist for this project. I know we just went over this, but just for full transparency of what to expect, here we're in the first row towards the middle and the end. The PACD subcommittee will look over the guidelines. We're going over the artwork that we have the inquiry of. And the next steps would be input, evaluations, and determine next steps as advised from the subcommittee. And so, again, here are the criteria for that should guide the relocation deaccession process. Again, you can search this on your own time as well just by searching City of Tucson Administrative Directives Relocation Deaccession. We have a few guest speakers with us, Lucky Salway, the selected public artist for Danny Lopez Park, and Tom Baham, the Knights of Columbus. Sorry. So, Lucky, if you're ready and would like to share a few words, the floor is open to you.
Okay. My name is Lucky Sawe. I'm Tohono O'odham and Oglala Lakota. I haven't been, since the year started, I've been sick with the flu and just been going through a lot of little things here and there. A couple of days ago, my mother-in-law passed away. So it's been weighing really heavy on our hearts and minds these last few days. So I didn't really have much time to get ready for this, but I wrote down my talking points, what I want to talk about. So this is going to come just pretty much straight from my heart to you all. So like I said, there's a lot of things going on right now that's been really tough, like the what's going on in Minnesota, you know, and I wanted to just, you know, acknowledge that, and I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get myself together. This has got me kind of emotional. Well, this connects, you know, starting with colonization and how it affected my people. Like I said, I'm O'odham and Oglala. So the O'odhams were actually the first to be contacted in these United States by the conquistadors and the Spanish. And this was in 1539. This predates the Pueblos Revolt. And this is not very well known news because they just discovered this stuff in 2020. But one of the first original towns that the Spanish made was in Rio Rico, was called San Jerónimo. And when they got here, they did a lot of bad things, and we ended up revolting and chasing them out. So we actually have some weapons from them, like the first gun that was ever made in these United States. It wasn't even fired because when we attacked them, we pretty much killed all of them, and they didn't come back for over 100 years. This is in new discoveries made by archaeologist Denny Seymour. You can find her documentary about this called something about Coronado. I can't think of it right now, but anyway, yeah. Like I said, Christopher Columbus has done really harmful things for us natives of any tribe. And I was kind of a shock. I remember when they renamed that park. Like with us natives, it was kind of like a slap in the face. And so when this came back up and them wanting to rename the park after an elder that I actually know and I actually grew up knowing, my parents knew him very well. He was actually in our feast committee. And our feast committees is they get together and we feed the community during all our feasts during that year. And there's six committees. And our committee had Danny Lopez in it. So I remember Danny when I was very young. He would talk to my father a lot, my stepfather a lot. And I just remember him always very talkative, him getting involved with all the games. Him and my stepfather would always be the ones in charge of the games and stuff, and for the youth. And Danny was really, really trying to always teach about our stories, our songs, our foods. And so that's what the piece that I'm doing, and I want the plaque to acknowledge Danny. So when you come into the park, it's literally the first thing you see. It's the main attraction of this park is you turn around this little corner and you just see it. It's this big old monument with the two flagpoles. Now, if this is going to be named Danny Lopez after an O'odham elder, and then they're going to allow this Columbus, it's very like, it's like disrespectful to us. If they want to do this and leave it there, it's like, it's very disrespectful to us to have one of the main people who started all the colonization to be like, boom, right smack in the middle. It's the first thing you see in the park. So when you go into this park named after Notham Elder, which is going to have signs, we're working on with another group to redo some of the signs there, to talk about the plants, the people, the Otham, and some language signs that have the Otham language in it. We'll be there. So it would just be like a slap in the face to have, you know, Columbus, something honoring Columbus right in the middle of our of the park that was renamed after Danny. And so that right there is just is something that, that just really gets my nerves up and wondering, you know, why, like, how could we even, like, have this meeting? It should be plain and simple. The park already voted to change the name of the park because of all these issues I'm just relaying to you. They understand that. So, so like I said, it's right at the entrance of the park. The Tucson City Youth Council was the ones who, I believe, brought this up and wanted to rename the park. Like I said, we're going to have language signs. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at my notes, things that I didn't want to miss talking about. So, as I said, it's. I think I'm also doing work with the city of Tucson. I'm doing there's a thing called Visit Tucson here, which is our tourist department in Tucson. I'm doing working with them, working on trying to do a mural and a shirt design, talking about the Otham relation to this place. So I don't think this will be a good look for Tucson people wanting to know about, oh, let's go to that Danny Lopez Park. It has some beautiful art there that I'm gonna be putting there. And then if they pull into the park and then I'm not able to put this where I would like to, you know, it's just like, oh no, this is ours. You can have the rest of the park, but right when you enter, you're gonna see a monument dedicated to Columbus. And it's just something that I don't want to see. I don't think any of us natives want to see that when we arrive at this park. And maybe it could be moved to the Knights of Columbus building, which is, I think, would be a good move. And that's mostly what I wanted to say. I have over about 300 signatures locally from people who would like to see it. And I'm starting to get a lot more signatures lately, so that probably number is going up. And that's pretty much the gist of it. Like I said, Danny was a respected elder. If we make that long, it's kind of a trip to get over there to that park, but I know with what I'm doing there and the way that the changes I would like to help make at the park, I think it'll be a beautiful symbol for our city to show the tribe that lives here. And I don't think see any other way to go about that. If we have that still there, it's just kind of like a slap in the face to us, to the Otham in this town. So that's where I'm coming from, and that's all I gotta say for right now.
Thank you, Lucky. Mr. Tom Baham, if you have any remarks as well, you're free to speak.
Thank you. Thanks, Sol, for having me and letting me talk on this. I don't know that there's much to say. I mean, they changed the name of the park, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And you have an artist to do whatever you guys deem appropriate out there. I would ask, and I think that's kind of what I've been asking, is if we could get the symbol and move it to a Knights of Columbus building or a Catholic church around here that, it's just kind of coming up, and I did look at it. It doesn't seem like it would be impossible to remove that the granite part from the pinth, I guess you call it. Never heard that one before, so that's a new one, a pinth. That's good. But and I don't know what you guys are going to do with the flagpoles there. Hopefully you still use them. But I wouldn't object at this point. I mean, the die's already been cast. I don't intend to get into an argument about the merits of Columbus or any of that. I would like to secure that piece of art and continue its life among those that are believers, and we could do that probably appropriately at a Catholic church. And I'm the president of the Tucson Knights of Columbus, and we have lots of councils throughout the city with lots of guys in the various trades, and I'm pretty sure that we could assist in either the removal or the taking it if the city removes it and hopefully keeps it in one piece. I know things have a tendency to get broken when you remove them. Understanding that, and I'm sure you guys would take care or let us do it, just so that we don't ruin the thing. And, you know, the deaccession part of it scared me a little bit because it almost sounded like it was just a destruction mode. So I'm happy to have this opportunity to ask to receive our object of honor back within our council. And I appreciate you coming up with all the stuff from 1991. It was a big deal when they put it in. They tried to get Fife Symington out. I was even in Tucson that time, but I wasn't really a member of the Knights. So it was a big deal apparently when it went down, and it's had a good run over there, and hopefully we can continue its life at one of our other places where you could honor Mr. Lopez out there as you see appropriate. And certainly we don't object to that, and we don't object to the honoring of him. I think it would be the other part that we would object to is dishonoring Columbus, although everybody has their ideas, and again, I don't want to get into an argument about that. So thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to seeing how this goes with you all.
Thank you. Any thoughts from the committee members?
Was the interest in the Knights of Columbus to relocate the features that are in the plinth known before this meeting?
No,
that's not a question for you. That's a question for staff. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
Can you ask the question again?
I was wondering if we, the Arts Foundation, was aware of an interest from the Knights of the Columbus to take the features that are in the plinth and remove them and relocate them to another location. Is this the first we've heard of this relocation of the existing pieces? Yes or no? Is it the first you've heard? Yes?
For Arts Foundation staff, this is the first time we're bringing it up, if that's what you're
right, asking. Right. No, I was wondering if you were aware that there was interest on the Knights of Columbus to remove it and to put it into another location.
Hi, Jim. I can chime in.
Who's that?
Yes, through some discussion there has shown interest, and that's okay. More of a later discussion that we can work on together. But for now, this is really about the committee deciding whether to remove it from its place now to relocate it, essentially.
Okay.
We didn't have like a clear stance from Knights of Columbus prior to this meeting, so I don't know if that answers your question of...
Okay. I mean, I guess from my perspective as a deaccession subcommittee member, if there's interest on the parts of Knights of Columbus to relocate this work so that then the artwork associated with the park that the artists would like to place sounds like a win-win. I don't know, understand. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, so we didn't have a clear stance from Knights of Columbus of whether, like, how to move forward. So this is just the public hearing. We didn't have any documentation on the artwork. And because Lucky is the public artist for the improvement projects, he had requested it to move, for it to be removed, but to, I guess to abide by the city's guidelines, we have to go through the STEEG session, even before. We didn't have, like, the clear, no objections from the Knights of Columbus prior to this.
Okay, I guess to me the conversation is turning into a relocation issue, not a demolition or deaccession issue. And
it's a deaccession, Jim. Relocation determines moving one object from one city property to another one. This would be deaccessioning it outside of the city's possession and gifting it back to the Knights of Columbus.
Okay, I so move. I mean, that seems like the appropriate action to be taking here.
Great.
Doesn't it satisfy everyone's concerns?
I have something missing. I wanted to say my budget is pretty tight for this project, so I don't want to be responsible for removing that.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so it appears that Jim Glock made a motion to deaccess this object. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ann Lopez. Any further discussion?
Do we need to clarify that the deaccession would include providing it to the Knights of Columbus? Or allowing them to relocate it? Is that detail required?
You kind of iterated that in your motion, so
okay.
That's what I wrote
okay.
down.
Great.
Any other discussion?
You know, is this a point? Can I just make another comment?
Of course.
I wasn't sure when this came up as to whether the city wanted to move it to somewhere else. Or what it was kind of leading to. So, and I probably wouldn't have had a problem. Well, we wouldn't have had a problem with that either if the city wanted to continue to use it somewhere else. But it's a beautiful piece. So that's why, you know, in terms of what we wanted to do is, I didn't really see it as up to us anyways. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to request it back. And we can, I don't know how that would work in terms of manpower, licensed contractor to come and look and give plans on how we would intend to remove it, but we don't want to, and especially if Mr. Solway wants to use that PINF in terms of what he's doing, we wouldn't want to cause damage to that in the removal. And so, you know, I don't know how that would come to pass, but I'd be happy to work with you folks, and you've been wonderful to keep me abreast of this meeting and the things that she's allowed to under the province. But I didn't know if you guys wanted to move it or whatever. So this provides clarity, and thank you.
Yeah, I do plan to put a metal fabrication on top of that, and to use our Autumn and Danny's district flag would be nice to go up there during the event where we have what we'll have. The unveiling event for the park and the signs that we're planning.
Thank you. Any other comments on this piece before we move it to a vote?
I can add one more comment. I just want to say thanks to everyone involved. I think we're all on the same page, but we have to go through, you know, the policies, procedures to get there. Regarding the logistics of doing the best we can to safely remove the Parousia symbol and leave the concrete plinth in place, I think coordinating with Parks and Recreation, because that project is part of a Prop 407 Parks improvement project that will be happening. So there will be a construction team on site doing other renovations. So maybe we can work with Parks and coordinating with Thomas and Lucky for the best way to make that transition happen safely.
Thank you, Owen.
I just wanted to say, as someone who wrote letters to the council and mayor and council on behalf of the renaming and encouraged many others to do so, I'm excited to hear about Lucky's new vision for the park, and I think this is a really appropriate transition.
Yeah, I would like to replace where that plaque is now. I'd like to replace it with Danny Lopez Pack talking about who he was, and then I plan to do a design around that metal, that concrete, whatever you called it. And then on top, I'm putting, it's a squash blossom design. It's a 3D squash blossom design that I created that will sit on top. And I'm already talking with structural engineers about it moving forward. So this was very important to know about this and to know how we're going to move forward, because that was the most obvious place for this to go. Because you see it right as soon as you walk in, you go into the park, it's just like, boom, it's right there. As soon as you turn into that, I don't know if you saw that overview map, but once you go around that turner, you can't see much but the desert. And then you see the whole park, and it's just like the main centerpiece. So that's why it was very important to get that spot. And it's going to look very, very beautiful there. I encourage you all to come out when we figure out the opening date and the unveiling. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote now. Ann Lopez?
Yes.
Jim Glock?
Yes.
Wesley Fawcett Cree?
Yes.
Kelly Way? Okay, item passes unanimously. Thank you all, and we'll forward your recommendation to the PAC-TC. Next on the agenda is item 7, public art relocation, Clement Turnkey at the HCD property. You?
If I might, I need to excuse myself. My spouse needs to be taken to get a root canal, so I apologize. But you still have a quorum of the session subcommittee meetings, I believe, so.
We might have to exit the meeting because there needs to be 3 PAC-TC members.
Oh.
Am I all done, Sadie?
You are. Thank you.
Okay, you guys have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shoot. All right. Well, I'll stick around for a few minutes then.
Okay.
I thought it might be appropriate to leave before things get started, but I do have to leave, so I'm sorry.
Am I all done, guys?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead, Yu?
Yeah. Jim, if you do have to leave, I guess I could just jump right into the presentation, but I wonder if we should just save this one for the next meeting, if you'll be leaving halfway through.
Yeah. Root canals have their own schedule. They're not. I didn't anticipate having to leave in advance of the. Of the meeting ending. So my apologies to everyone for this, and I'll make sure that I don't have a conflict arise. Well, I'll do my best to make sure a conflict like this doesn't arise at the next meeting. So I had no control of this one.
Jim, is there any way, I'm sorry, this is Damian Klinko, just because it was complex for us to be able to move our schedules around to attend. Is there any way that you could just be on a phone call, or you could call into the thing and just have it on speakerphone so you could stay connected to the meeting so there would still be a quorum?
Oh, that's an idea. Yeah, there'll be a little gap as I get in the car and whatnot, but. And I don't know how to mute once I'm in the car, so.
Okay, should I just go ahead and
we'll
begin then?
Do you want to?
I'll return when I can.
Okay.
And hopefully that's before the item's completed and I'll be able to catch up.
We'll have to pause the meeting until you rejoin.
Oh, well then I'm not going to leave until then, till the last possible moment.
Okay.
Which is like 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll just jump right in then, I guess. Everyone can see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Charles Clement, Turnkey Sculptures. This is the second meeting for this specific agenda item. And I'll just do a quick overview so we're all on the same page and just to debrief. The artwork that we're looking at is located on 35th Street and South Park Avenue. It's a City of Tucson housing and community development property. Here are a few images of some of Charles Clement's artworks that he has contributed throughout the city. He is a prolific Tucson mid-century modern sculptor and has done a lot of integrated architectural artworks throughout Tucson. And so the image to the left here is the El Presidio fountain that he had collaborated with Michael Lugo, and on the right is an image of, artwork that he had created for the University of Arizona. So the artworks that we had looked at previously are located at this aerial view property here on 35th Street and Park. The objects here are the ones that we are discussing. We see four of the pillars measuring around 60 inches by 16 by 16. We have the two cubes here, more on the right side, that measure around 2 feet by 2 feet. And here we have a panel sculpture that measures around 45 inches by 36 inches. And so we have discussed earlier the ways that we have come to acknowledging that these artworks are here. We don't have any documentation of the artworks, but we believe that just through really research online that the artworks were placed in front of public housing units that were scattered throughout South Tucson. There were, I think I had said 14, but Damian, you, I think had said it was 17 artworks that were placed around for these public housing units. So they somehow ended up at this location, and we don't have full documentation on how that happened, but we do have a little bit of information on the original intent for the objects. There are additional related works pretty close by to the HCD property that we were just looking at. This is an aerial view of Silver Lake Park, and we have just the three circles mapped out here, and these are additional objects that had come to our attention. So we have these objects here. So the cubic sculpture here on the left, painted in green. We have a metal, the middle sculpture here that it's a bench. It looks really close to the ground, but it is raised, and a panel sculpture. So these are all, as I mentioned, scattered throughout the outer perimeter of the park. The cubic sculpture is more on the west end of the park, and it's situated closer to the neighborhoods of that area. The middle bench sculpture here is on the middle, you can access it through the entryway of the middle parking lot. And this flower sculpture here is on the northeast corner of the park. These objects here, specifically the column, sorry, the panel and the cubic sculptures have been painted. And that was, I don't think it's the original intent. As we can see, previous objects are all more of a neutral color and have maintained more of like a concrete raw cast. So that's just the brief overview of some of the objects that we have talked about in the previous meeting. A consideration is the deinstallation removal cost. Just briefly, this is just an estimate. I did reach out to art handling company located in Phoenix, and they did give an estimate about $7,000. This is just for the removal and not the reinstallation. And again, just a really quick overview of the deaccession process, so we're all familiar with this and what to expect next. We received the request from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, who owns the intellectual property rights, but not specifically these objects. They had concerns about the HCD property, which had – there's a lot of construction on Park Avenue. The fence had been damaged, and there was a car accident, and there's concern about the preservation of these objects. So, again, we had gone over the deaccession criteria, and we're looking to – to figure out the next steps into addressing the resolving this inquiry. So we have a few not confirmed guest speakers, but I know that Mr. Ortiz is from Ward 5, and just wanted to give the floor to Mr. Ortiz if there's anything from Ward 5 that you'd like to say on behalf of Ward 5, or if there's any other additional input.
So I appreciate that. We weren't prepared for a statement, but I mean, we have our full support on what you think is best for these sculptures. If I'm hearing correctly, you is there a potential place where they may end up going, or?
So that's something for our subcommittee here to discuss. The inquiry came because it was requested to be relocated to a different location, and that's something that the subcommittee can deliberate on where it can happen.
And when is this going to take place, the relocations?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. It really doesn't have a timeline. It's really dependent on what we come up with here, what our members here come up with as a subcommittee.
Okay.
Ideally, we would not have this drawn out for years, as some public art projects can take. The property is slated to be going for sale. So we have spoken to the real estate department. We're working with them to delay the sale, but it is something that is another element to consider, is that it will be sold eventually, and we would like to have the public art pieces addressed sooner than later.
And so what I'll do is I'll bring this up to council member Barajas, see what she feels about that, and then I will have an update for you at the next meeting.
Great, thank you. And you had a presentation last time, but I don't know if there's additional things that you'd like to speak on.
Thank you so much. No, we don't have a formal presentation this time. I mean, we really tried to provide historic context to the committee at our last meeting, outline our concerns about the condition that the sculptures are currently in, that their initial relocation without consultation with the artist's estate has really diminished their artistic integrity, that they really no longer represent the work of Charles Clement in physical form or practice, the overpaint, all of the different modifications that have been made to them without any sort of formal review has really impacted their integrity. So the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation owns a property designed by Charles Clement called the Bondante House. And we believe that it would be a good opportunity to relocate them to that site where recontextualization can exist. Some of them would be viewable from to the public from the road. Others would be by appointment. But again, that property is owned by the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. And we are currently in the process of nominating that property as a city historic landmark, which will protect that site permanently. And these sculptures would be part of that. So there would be ongoing city oversight and protection through a historic landmark rezoning. So that's effectively what we're requesting at this point, given all of the conditions and the imminent sale of the site and no other strategic opportunities for relocation, reinterpretation, restoration of the works. But we're here to answer any questions as well.
Thank you, Damian. So I know this agenda item is marked as a study / action. So I think this can be a great opportunity for committee members to either continue to deliberate, voice your opinion. And Sadie, jump in here if you'd like. I don't know if I'm taking over your role here.
No, you're fine. So the presentations have been made. Committee members or guests present, feel free to ask any questions or make comments.
Yeah, I can jump in with a few thoughts. I actually happened to be just walking in the park that's along, I think, 29th Street and Keno Parkway. Just kind of randomly walked the loop around that park and ran into two of those Clement sculptures, which I recognized from this process to be part of this maybe original collection. And then I've since also driven past the ones in question on 35th Street several times. Running into those in the park made me think about how impactful it could be to reunite those from the city property that's up for sale with those that are currently installed in the park, and keeping them in the South Park neighborhood where they originally were installed. I think this conversation has brought up a lot of questions about context, and I think context in this case can be pretty subjective. But I think in my mind, these public sculptures, which were originally designed and installed in the South Park neighborhood for a public housing project, keeping them in the public and preferably in South Park neighborhood seems most appropriate and in context with the work as I see it and interpret it. I also live in Ward 5. So just to maybe make it to clarify for Mr. Ortiz and the Ward 5 office, if these were to be accessed from the City of Tucson public art collection and taken into the collection of the Tucson Historic Preservation Group, they would reside in a totally different part of town in a kind of semi-private residence or more private than public, but not a place that would be open to the public throughout the year, maybe occasionally here and there for some public events, but otherwise it would be a residence that was available for short-term rental and not accessible to the public in the same way that they are now. And nor would they be if they were installed in another public location in that neighborhood. So those are the thoughts I've had that I wanted to share for this conversation.
Thank thank you for that information. That does help me so I can present this to Councilmember Barajas. So for my, just so I, for clarification for me to when I speak with what Councilmember, it's being suggested that these be moved to the, excuse me if I butcher the name, Volante House, where Mr. Charles Clement's other work is also displayed. And correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then is Wesley, you're speaking of a different location to place the what the other artwork that he has at the other park?
Yes, it seems like the ones in the public park on 29th and Keno, and I guess 36 runs along the south side of it. Those were part of the original cluster of sculptures, which got moved to different locations in the neighborhood and perhaps beyond. I don't know if they're all accounted for. But yeah, these sculptures, 14 to 17 of which were installed for a public housing project in South Park neighborhood. I'm forgetting the date, but several decades ago. And at some point, they got moved to a different sort of housing project, but in the same neighborhood. And then at that point, some of them were moved to additional locations, including that park, that neighboring park. So some of them, they're all currently on view to the public, though, the ones in question. And, the question is what are our options? What would best suit the community and the works themselves? And that's been the discussion since our previous meeting.
Okay, perfect.
And just to provide a little more context from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, we're not a group, we're a foundation side. The specificity is really critical here. These sculptures were commissioned as part of a public-private development called Turnkey. That project was then remodeled and then demolished. And at some point during that demolition and change, the sculptures were then provided to various city departments and installed without consultation with the artist or the artist representatives. They have not been cared for. They are damaged. They've been decontextualized entirely. It's not open for interpretation as the owner of Charles Clement's intellectual property. As far as we are concerned, these do not reflect his work and should not be called his work until that proper contextualization and reorganization and restoration occurs. The mishandling of the artwork over the last 20 years and the allowance of them to be damaged in the way that they have is very, very troubling. And the fact that it took us bringing it to the city's attention at an inflection point where the city wasn't even clear that these were part of the city art collection and that the property is about to be sold. And had we not brought it forward, it's not even clear whether there would have been any discussion or whether it would have just gone with the transfer of the land. So, we're very concerned that there's been a very, very poor history of management around these objects and their final dispensation and how they are reinterpreted and articulated. Clement's actual artistic integrity is really important to our organization. So I just want to make that sort of underscore that just relocating them somewhere will not be Charles Clement's artwork. It requires much more thoughtful interpretation and restoration to get to that point.
Thank you for that.
Any other thoughts, questions, or comments by the committee members or guests?
I have a question. So if Ward 5 does decide to keep the sculptures in their jurisdiction, do they have funds to restore? Would THPF be willing to help guide that process if they were to stay on site in the neighborhood?
Given the history of what's happened to these sculptures, and unless there was a very, very comprehensive plan that we could jointly apply for resources, you know, the foundation's not going to fund a relocation to a place that would not no longer convey the original intention or artistic intent and integrity of Clement's work. So this is, you know, there's like two different parts of this. One, there's an imminent sale of the city property and the required relocation. You know, we've been involved with a number of other projects with the city where there's been a relocation of artwork, and four or 5 years later, the artwork still sits in storage until eventually it gets deaccessioned and thrown away. Where, you know, there's been discussions about other examples of that we've actually had interfaces with. So we're very concerned about both the long range management, the integrity of these works. I mean, we're open to ideas, but we came with a solution because we saw the continual devaluation and destruction of these works.
And did you want to speak to the maintenance budget or anything in regards to that question?
We are building out, and, you know, this is something that was brought up at the last meeting, is the capacity to do like regular maintenance checks through the Arts Foundation has been only recently buffered by the filling of the position of the collections management.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to leave. We have to evacuate the building here. I gotta go.
Thank you.
And I will bring these questions to council member update next meeting. Sorry.
Can you smell it?
I hope they're okay. So to answer the question, you know, we've been building relationships with city departments, and funding for maintenance is always, like, I think funding for art just period is always last on the priority list, and then further down, maintenance is not something that is like fully secured. We are working with Department of Transportation and Mobility where that is changing. We are securing more funds, regular funds, to address that. And because this is, you know, different departments, we don't have like a full budget for maintaining the artwork. But there are ways where, you know, we can possibly work with the departments to help facilitate, whether if it stays within the city collection, that's something that we can definitely help with.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree that it's frustrating when public art falls into disrepair. And I think everyone's on the same page as far as like wanting to see them get the restoration that they require, and I'm hoping there are avenues for that. I think the conversation of context is still, for me, a very subjective one. I don't think reinstalling them at a short-term rental is the same as having them be part of a public art collection, and especially part of a neighborhood that they've historically been a part of. So I think that's still an open conversation, but I think everyone's on the same page in terms of wanting to see them preserved.
And again, just for clarification, the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation owns historic sites across our city, and we provide interpretation in different ways. One way that we do that is we allow people to stay in historic properties, keeping them in active use. So it's not just a short-term rental. It's actually a way of people having an opportunity to intimately experience architectural icons in our community. We work to designate them as local landmarks, one of a handful. There's a dozen historic landmarks in the city. This property will be designated one of those. It provides long-term protection and oversight from the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission. We make our sites available for tours, public opportunities for public interaction. We invite classes from the University of Arizona to come regularly. We have the School of Architecture, the School of Art. We're actually in conversation with this property, with a team from the School of Art about how to create more public accessibility from visiting artists and others. So to diminish the work that we do by just sort of calling it a, you know, short-term rental and that's the solution, that's very much not with the mission or the organization that we run. And it's a little frustrating that we came with it. We've come with a solution and we understand how complex and difficult this is, but we put a lot of time and energy into thinking about what would be an adequate and reasonable and appropriate solution. Also, this comes on the heels of the city losing or throwing away a major work of art by Charles Clement sometime in the last 5 years. And there's been zero accountability or even clarification on exactly what happened from your committee or the Arts Foundation or the departments from the city that did that. So, you know, this is part of a sort of an ongoing concern that we have around Charles Clement's legacy, these works and ways that they can be interpreted and that the community can have access to them in a way that protects them. And I think what we see in this particular case, again, a public-private partnership. It wasn't just a public art collection. They ended up in the public art collection, but they started off in a different way. We're just concerned about how they no longer reflect and are not Charles Clement's artwork. It's not just about an interpretation. We, as an organization, own Charles Clement's intellectual property, and we have the ability as that organization to be able to make that final determination about what is and what is not appropriate contextualization of his art.
As PACD subcommittee members, something that is outlined in the administrative directives, and, you know, just to fully, I think we all agree that we have like a lot of issues to address with just like maintaining public art. But, as subcommittee members, one of the first things is to advocate for the city's public art collection. So Damian, like, I, obviously we're all frustrated with like how to address these issues. And we're coming from sides and we're just trying to figure out like the best way to, not just make, one side better, but how to holistically address like the whole issue. And we also appreciate you bringing this forward because he has a legacy and it is something that we should cherish. And on that note, you know, it would be great to have it in the public art collection, but that is also something the subcommittee is, as a kind of a city body, supposed to advocate for first is the city's collection. So just trying to make that transparent that's kind of like outlined in the directives. So we're not trying to like cause issues, but just constant advocation, I guess.
This is Anne. And while I agree that there are points on all sides of this discussion, the fact is these pieces were never officially belonged to the city of Tucson. We have no provenance that said they belonged to the city of Tucson. And yes, we have not done a great, yes, we have been neglectful of these things, but as I drive by there all the time, I see that they are in terrible peril. And frankly, I would like to see them saved. And if there is a way to save them, I would like to see them saved. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Just that I agree that, I am advocating for their preservation.
Thank you. And this is listed as a study action. So the committee can take action today or, request more information and we could come back again and revisit this item and, you know, find more information if that is the will of the subcommittee.
Just a clarifying question. Does the Arts Foundation have an update on when they expect the property to be put up for sale?
I haven't heard a specific date, and I did talk to them. It was last month, and they had said that it was going to be some date from last month. And I told them that we're still having this the meetings and that we're still in discussion. So if they are able to push the date back, and they're pretty agreeable and are willing to work with us to push the date back. But I don't think it's something that, you know, like they probably wouldn't want to hold the date back for years either. So.
I was just going to say
yes, and whenever I have any updates on that detail, I will, of course, bring it up to the meeting.
So Kelly and I are working with real estate on this too. So if there is a sale pending soon, there's a way to at least temporarily make that easement so the artworks won't be damaged for the time being. So if there's concern about the artworks being damaged in the next few months, that shouldn't be the case. But since Kelly's not here to speak on behalf of the city manager's office, I can't say more than that. But we are in discussions a lot tighter than we were before with Tucson Real Estate Division.
Thank you. With that, if any PECDC member wants to make a motion, feel free. If not, we can continue this discussion.
I guess I just don't really know how much Jim is able to be a part of the conversation at the moment. So I just don't know if we really have quorum, and I'm just feeling a little puzzled about how to proceed at the moment.
Jim, are you on? I see he's in the room, I believe, three times. I'm going to see if I can unmute you. Let's see. Does anyone know the button to unmute when you're on your phone for Zoom?
Can people hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can people hear me? Oh, shoot. Okay, sorry, folks. So I am curious. Damien mentioned some Pima County Historical Commission. What do they want us to do?
Damien, did you hear that question from Jim?
So Jim, as you know, the Historical Commission is the advisory body to the city, to the mayor and council on historic cultural resources. I do not serve on that committee. I did it one time. A proposal, they respond to proposals. So, you know, a proposal would need to sort of be brought in front of them. They don't have jurisdiction over unlisted national, like items that aren't things that are not on the national register or properties that aren't designated as local landmarks or within preservation zones. And so currently these objects are outside of that, what would be their sort of the nexus for their review. We certainly could go to them and ask them what their thoughts are.
I think that's a great idea. You mentioned it. I mean, I would like to hear their opinions on this.
Okay, so I would be happy to work with the Historic Commission and the Arts Foundation to put together like sort of two, like we did last time, where we can put together two PowerPoints and we can go and present to them about the historic context of these works, tell them what's happening and ask for their input.
That'd be great. I think that would help us all with respect to dealing with this.
They also have a, in addition to their plans review subcommittee, they also have a special standing historic landscape subcommittee that specializes in issues of historic and cultural landscape. And that may be the appropriate committee to go to ask for guidance on this, because they specifically deal with parks and public spaces, and they would probably have more insight. But I'm happy to work with you to, identify exactly who on the commission we should go to.
Sure.
And give a presentation. Yeah. That works for everybody. I'm also happy to stand back and let the Arts Foundation just do that, but I, again, am happy to help.
Okay. Is Terry still the chair? Who's the chair now?
Yeah, of the Tucson County Historical Commission, Terry Majewski is currently the chair. And then Stephen Greedy and Helen Erickson oversee that subcommittee on landscape.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd ask Terry which committee she'd want us to go
to. Okay.
But I would like their input on this. This does kind of cross both historic preservation and public art realms. So I think they should have an opportunity.
Yuyu, does that work for you guys, if I work with you to do that?
Yeah, that sounds good. And I just want to double check the name. It's the Pima County Historic Preservation.
It's the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission. And the commission is made up of representatives from both Pima County supervisors and the mayor and council, as well as technical specialists.
Okay. Did you say that you aren't on?
No, I am not on that commission, but okay. I was at one time, and I certainly know most of the players.
Okay. So Tucson Pima County Historic Commission. Yeah.
Yeah. And I will share. I'll send an email and I'll CC you introducing you to Terry Majewski and explaining sort of an overview of what's going on.
Okay.
And I have just a process question in terms of if the PACD subcommittee, if there's consensus about, yes, we acknowledge the value of these sculptures and we want to prioritize the restoration and preservation of them, location of them, what are the next steps? Does that go to the larger PACD committee? Is that a feasible option if we determine and community partner who can help support that in some way? What's the process?
So, go ahead, Sadie.
Any recommendation that this subcommittee makes will be taken to the greater PC meeting to be approved. At this moment, we don't have any real strong recommendation from the subcommittee at this point. And it seems that some members would like to forward this presentation to the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission to get their take on it and then bring it back to the subcommittee. Does that sound right, Jim?
Yes. Yes, am I still off mute?
Yes, you're. I can hear you.
Okay.
So it sounds like that is something that at least Jim wants and perhaps the other members, but feel free to, step in and clarify anything that I may have missed.
All right, spouse delivered to Dennis. I'm spending half the more focused time now that I'm not driving.
Okay.
So, yes, I think that's a good approach.
Agreed.
Okay. Did you want to make a formal motion for that, or should we can just table this item? But
formal motion. Okay. Yeah, I think we should seek the opinion. I move that we should seek the opinion of the Tucson Pima Historical Commission on the particular pieces.
Okay, item has been moved to or by Jim. Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Okay, second by Ann Lopez. Any further discussion? Questions? Okay, hearing none, I'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Ann Lopez?
Yes.
Jim Glock?
Yes.
Wesley Fawcett Cree?
Yes.
And Kelly Way? Okay, it's been approved unanimously, and we will get working on a presentation for that commission. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item 8, request additions for future agendas. Are there any requests? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to the next item, adjournment. The meeting stands adjourned. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Nope, I dropped my earbuds.
Okay. So with that, the meeting is adjourned at 2:23. Thank you all.
Thank you. Sorry for my awkwardness in my participation.
No worries. Everyone. Thank you. Bye. Let me stop recording.